Now that you've avoided the landmines, you're in a good position to do all the positive things that you need to do to go on to live to be over 100. Basically, what you want to do is take all 90 essential nutrients, 60, that's 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. And they're called essential nutrients for two reasons. Number one, your body cannot manufacture them. You must consume these every day, either as food or as supplements. Number two, if any one of these 90 essential nutrients is missing for a couple of months, a couple of years, you get on the average 10 deficiency diseases. 10 deficiency diseases times 90 essential nutrients, that's 900 diseases that you can potentially prevent just simply by supplementing properly. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose by supplementing properly. Well, the medical profession, of course, has this malignant, dumb belief that you can get everything you need from your four food groups. My favorite article of all time in the press was April 6, 1992, 5 years ago now. Time flies when you're having fun. Time magazine, cover article, "The Real Power of Vitamins. New research shows it may help fight cancer, heart disease, and the ravages of aging." 6 positive pages. If you haven't read it, I'd urge you to go to a public library, school library, dig it out and read it. There was only one negative sentence, and as you might guess, it was offered by a medical doctor who was actually contacted by the writer of the article, said, "What do you think about vitamins and minerals and trace minerals as supplements for human nutrition?" Here's what he said, quote, "Popping vitamins doesn't do you any good," sniffs Dr. Victor Herbert, a professor of medicine at New York City's Mount Sinai Medical School. "We get all the vitamins we need in our diets, and taking supplements just gives you expensive urine," unquote. Now, Missouri translation of that is, you're just peeing away your money. You might as well wad up your dollars, throw them in a toilet, and flush them away. You can get everything you need from your four food groups, is what he's trying to say. Well, I'd rather pee out 50 cents or a dollar a day worth of excess vitamins and minerals. That's cheap insurance. Think about it. How much money you spend for coffee or soft drinks or newspapers and that kind of stuff every day. 50 cents to a dollar a day to maintain and repair your body. And it's kind of fascinating that most people don't do it. Just remember, when you pay that doctor out of your own pocket, or indirectly through insurance, or indirectly through taxes, Medicare, Medicaid, not a single penny of that goes to better understand, manage, treat, prevent, or cure catastrophic diseases in kids, breast cancer in women, prostate cancer in men. It pays the doctor's mortgage, the doctor's Mercedes payment, and the tuition for his kids to go to medical school, or worse yet, Yale Law School. That's all we need is a bunch more Yale lawyers walking around. Now, a lot of people ask me, why did you call your original tape Dead Doctors Don't Lie? Why do you call your lecture series Dead Doctors Don't Lie? Well, that's because I believe for a long time, because I'd done medical research for over 20 years in large medical research institutes, medical schools, the various laboratories, and I always had a belief in the medical system, but I was very disappointed when I learned that doctors don't know the most about health and longevity. Doctors don't know the most about disease. They do know about procedures, you know, how to fix your bones when you break them and that sort of thing, how to do a CAT scan. And so I began to look in the medical journals, and sure enough, the first article ever published on health and longevity of American doctors was published in JAMA on June 15, 1895, a little over 100 years ago. They said at that time, doctors lived to be 54.6. I redid the study 97 years later using the same obituary techniques that they did in JAMA. This was January 20th, 1993, in that particular issue of JAMA. And it turned out the doctors lived to be 57.6. I rounded up to 58 to give them the benefit of the doubt. And doctors just went berserk when I said that. I mean, this was the most outrageous thing that they ever heard. My principle is, my premise is, that doctors don't live as long as the average couch potato in America. And I purposely put that figure out there at 58 to try and challenge people. Well, doctors immediately looked at all the insurance actuarial charts. They got 250,000 dead doctors. He said, "Your group's too small." So they looked at 250,000 dead doctors and they say, "Doctors don't live to be 58, they die at 62. They still don't live to be 75.5 like the average couch potato." We actually reran this again using the entire obituary history for 1996. And for the entire 1996, of all the doctors dying in 1996, with all the medical treatments and drugs and procedures and everything and transplants, doctors in that study lived to be 70. Still 5.5 years short of the average couch potato in America. So they still have never proven that doctors live as long as everybody else, and that's why dead doctors don't lie. Doctors kill each other in surgery just like they do everybody else. Here's one of my favorites. Dr. Ian Monroe, 73 years old, was the editor of Lancet, the top British medical journal, the top international medical journal. It's very famous. Every newspaper in America quotes articles out of Lancet. USA Today, New York Times, San Diego Union Tribune. The cause of death was complications of surgery, which is just a politically correct way of saying the surgeon killed him. The editor of Lancet. And then, of course, when you eliminate fast cars and suicides and overdoses of drugs and airplane accidents and so forth, doctors die of nutritional deficiency diseases just like everybody else. I brought you just two or so of my favorites. Dr. Stuart Cartwright, age 38, was a local physician here in San Diego, died at age 38 of a ruptured coronary aneurysm. This guy was a good-looking kid. Could have been a movie actor. I'm sure he married the prom queen. Southern California probably had a Mercedes convertible, white leather interior, and all the bells and whistles. Probably never repaid a student loan, all the things that medical students are famous for. And drops dead of a ruptured coronary artery aneurysm in his heart. Something a turkey wouldn't die from. We learned in 1957 from a turkey study where they took 250,000 turkeys and they put them on a complete turkey pellet trying to get them to finish for market within a few days or a week or so of each other. And in the first 13 weeks, fully half of them, 125,000 of them died. Farmers were out there every morning. They picked them up every morning by the bushel basketful, took them to the state diagnostic lab to see what they died from. When they opened them up, every one of them had died of a ruptured aortic aneurysm. And one of the clever pathologists says that's got to be due to a copper deficiency because copper is required to manufacture the elastic fibers of arteries and skin and other tissues. And the mechanism of an aneurysm is identical to the mechanism of a balloon on a weakened wall of a tire. You know when you hit a chuck hole with your tire and you break the cords, the internal pressure blows a balloon. You overload that tire with weight or heat it up on a highway, it blows out. Same way with an aneurysm. When you have a copper deficiency, you get a breakdown of the elastic fibers in that artery, the internal pressure, even normal blood pressure will blow a balloon in that artery, and a balloon in an artery is called an aneurysm. And of course, if it's in a strategic place like the brain, the carotid artery, the coronary arteries, the large arteries, the aorta, pulmonary artery, renal arteries, they blow out, you die suddenly, just like you've been shot. Well, they got excited about this. They doubled the amount of copper in these pellets. The next year, they tried to raise 500,000 turkeys, and they did not lose a single one from a ruptured aneurysm. They went from a 50% loss to a 0% loss just by adding a little bit of copper to those pellets. So they said, well, maybe the same thing is true for humans. And in 1958, they started looking at copper deficiency in various species of animals and humans, and here's what they found out. The very first symptom of copper deficiency in human beings is white, gray, and silver hair. Copper is required as a cofactor to manufacture hair pigment. Doesn't matter if it's blonde, red, brown, or black hair. And I see a lot of copper deficiency in this room. I can almost tell you which people, men and women, who have colored their hair get pretty good at that, at being a physician. And you don't want to be like a medical doctor and just treat the symptoms. If you're just coloring your hair, you're treating the symptoms. You need to do the basic thing of take some colloidal copper. And if you don't, what's going to happen is you get a breakdown of the elastic fibers in your skin and you start getting crow's feet around the corners of your eyes and your mouth. Parts of your anatomy begin to sag. And you know you're in trouble when your doctor tells you, look, I've got a golf buddy down the hall who's a plastic surgeon for $10,000. He'll make you look 20 years younger. But you don't need a facelift, a boobie lift, a tummy tuck, or a derriere lift. All you need is some colloidal copper and everything will come back up just like you have a hydraulic jack under it. It'll just come right back up. Those elastic fibers tighten right up. People say, Francine, did you get a facelift? You look great. You look like you're 20 years younger. Now, if you don't take some action at that point, the next thing that happens is you get a breakdown of the elastic fibers in the large veins of your legs and you get varicose veins. If you don't take action at that point, you get a breakdown of the elastic fibers in the large veins of your exhaust pipe and you get hemorrhoids. So if you have hemorrhoids, varicose veins, things that sag, wrinkles, white, gray, or silver hair, the odds are you have aneurysms developing in you somewhere. And you don't want to, of course, die suddenly of a ruptured aneurysm when your body's been warning you for 10, 20, 30 years. Just remember, people don't die suddenly of an aneurysm. It may be you drop and die. Think about old Albert Einstein. He died of a ruptured aortic aneurysm at 68 years of age. What color was his hair? He was famous for wild white hair, wasn't he? Now, you'd like to think that people who win the Nobel Prize in medicine would at least live to be 75.5, but they live to be 58 just like other doctors. And, of course, that's because they are trained and they believe and they practice. You can get everything you need from your four food groups. Doesn't matter if they win the Nobel Prize or not. This guy here, Dr. George Kohler, was the youngest person ever to win the Nobel Prize in medicine in history. 37 years old, wins the Nobel Prize in medicine. And he won the Nobel Prize in medicine for studying monoclonal antibodies, which are antibodies trained to attack cancer cells. And if they ever get this really working, it'll be great because they won't have to use chemotherapy anymore, which kills more people than it saves. 11 years after winning the Nobel Prize in medicine, Dr. George Kohler, now 48, drops dead of a cardiomyopathy heart attack because he believed, practiced, you can get everything you need from your four food groups. Didn't take any selenium, died of a cardiomyopathy heart attack. Now, I have to tell you why athletes are early warning system. Couch potatoes, by definition, are people who go to extraordinary efforts not to sweat, right? They make every human effort not to sweat. They're changing the TV channels. Honey, bring in the popcorn, I'm changing the channels. Son, bring me the TV guide, I'm changing the channels. By contrast, athletes have the attitude, no pain, no gain. And they're out there sweating and working away, power training, strength training, running, and they sweat. Athletes, no matter age, they sweat more in 5 years than couch potatoes do in 70 years. And when you sweat, you don't just sweat out potassium and Gatorade, you sweat out all 60 essential minerals. If you sweat out all of your selenium and don't replace it by supplementation, you're at higher risk of getting a cardiomyopathy heart attack. You sweat out all of your copper and don't replace it by supplementation, you're at high risk of developing an aneurysm and dying suddenly of a ruptured aneurysm. You sweat out all of your chromium and vanadium and don't replace it by supplementation, you're at higher risk of getting diabetes. And if you sweat out all of your calcium and magnesium and boron and zinc and sulfur and other minerals that are required for cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, bone, you're going to get a joint and bone injury. What is the biggest single cause of an athlete's career being ended early? Joint and bone problems, right? And that's because they sweat out all the basic minerals that they need to maintain those parts of their body, and they don't supplement with them because doctors tell them that they can get everything they need by eating their four food groups. Well, what are the early warning systems for mineral deficiencies? We already told you about white, gray, or silver here for a copper deficiency. Liver spots or age spots in the back of your hand, side of your face, or neck. These things are caused by a selenium deficiency. And you know, again, about selenium deficiency. Then, of course, you have toe cramps, leg cramps. You can have hypertension. These things are all caused by a deficiency of calcium. And if you're an athlete at age 25 or 15 and you get a leg cramp, it's a calcium deficiency, your body's telling you, if you don't stop drinking those Pepsis and start supplementing with some calcium, by the time you're 40, 50, 60 years old, you're going to have arthritis and osteoporosis. But most people say, well, I got to get this high-priced trainer. I need somebody who can give me massage therapy because I have a cramp. And they don't go and take their supplements. Now, lastly, is a behavior called pica and cribbing. Pica and cribbing. Farmers know about pica and cribbing. This is where animals eat non-food items. Dirt, rocks, sand, wire, nails, shingles off the roof. They'll eat paint. They'll eat deer bones. If you see a cow eating deer bones, you know they're minerally deficient. Even a farmer with a fourth grade education knows they're minerally deficient. We'll give the animals minerals to prevent from having to rebuild the fence and prevent having large veterinary bills. Little kids react the same way. I'm sure you've seen little kids who use a plastic shovel or a little spoon and they're eating dirt out of the garden or maybe out of the house plants, maybe on the beach or the play box at school. And if you live in one of these newfangled houses and apartments that have everything artificial, man-made rugs, wall-to-wall, maybe the tile, there's man-made stuff, nothing organic in the house. These are kids that will watch the Disney Channel and they'll put the kitty litter box between their knees and they'll sit there eating the Tootsie Rolls because that's the only organic thing in the house. Not because it tastes good, because they're seeking, they have this pica and cribbing. Grandfather tends to be very tolerant and says, look, kid, if you got to do this, go over in the corner and do it. I don't want to have to watch. Mom and grandmom don't like that. They pick up this kitty litter box, put it on the kitchen counter, contaminate everybody in the household with worms, and they still haven't satisfied the kids' need for minerals, and they immediately go over and start eating the caulking from around the windows and the lead paint, not because it tastes good, but because it's convenient. Pregnant women are legendary for having pica and cribbing, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning. They want pickles and ice cream, curly french fries, hot and spicy foods. That's because the embryo is taking minerals from the mother, and if they don't supplement with minerals faster than the embryo is taking it from them, they get pica and cribbing and have these crazy cravings. Some of them go out in the middle of the night and eat clay in the full moon. Then, of course, non-pregnant women and adult men also get pica and cribbing. Here's where the snack food industry has really caught on. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says 95% of all Americans are deficient in minerals. So you figure that 95% of Americans are going to show mineral deficiency symptoms, including pica and cribbing. The snack food industry has spent billions of dollars over the last 10, 12 years convincing you that this behavior of eating non-food items is not called pica and cribbing, because you could go look it up in a dictionary. It'll say a mineral deficiency. They've convinced you that cravings and the binge eating habits and behaviors are called what? The munchies. Now, when you get the munchies, you're taught to eat their chips and their dips and their various snacks and pretzels and popcorn and so forth, their chocolate and Reese's peanut butter cups and curly french fries, and that's why Americans are overweight, basically because we're minerally deficient. Again, we need 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids. And fortunately, over the thousands of years that human beings have been around, we haven't had to think much about this because our food plants, our grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts take carbon dioxide out of the air and manufacture long carbon chains, many of which are vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. And this is where this medical caca came from, that you can get everything you need from your four food groups. Because they say, well, plants, grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts can manufacture vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. But we've tried this experiment for 200 years. Americans have eaten better than anybody else in the world. We've had the best quality food in the world over anybody else. And yet, we only live to be 75.5. We don't set any health or longevity records. So if you want to live to be over 100, can't get it from eating your four food groups. You can live to be 75.5. You may live 10 years older, 10 years younger, but on the average, 75.5. So if you want to live to be over 100, you do have to supplement with vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. Now, minerals are a different story. Plants cannot manufacture minerals the way that they can manufacture vitamins and amino acids and fatty acids. You have to remember that. Also, minerals never occurred in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. Minerals occur in veins, kind of like chocolate ripple ice cream. For 100 years, American farmers, and we did it on our farm when I was a kid 50 years ago, we've used a simple fertilizer known as NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, because for $25 an acre when I was a kid, $120 an acre today, NPK gives you the maximum yield in terms of tons and bushels per acre of ground. Nobody pays a farmer any kind of cash incentive or gives them a tax break to make sure you get all 60 essential minerals. That's your job. That's your job. They grow tons and bushels for domestic sale and for export. It only takes 5 to 10 years for crops to deplete, extract, or mine the minerals out of farmlands or range soils. And we've been using NPK for 100 years. So you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that over 90 years at least, we've been deficient in our soils in America. And as a result, our food is deficient. And as a result, the crops, the grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts that are grown there are minerally deficient. And as a result, the animals and people who eat these minerally deficient crops get mineral deficiency diseases. And the only way to prevent and cure them is with mineral supplements. We spent $1.2 trillion for healthcare last year. If the government were just to give everybody vitamins and minerals and trace minerals, it would cut our cost of healthcare from $1.2 trillion to $200 billion. It would cut the healthcare by almost 90%. Unfortunately for human beings, we got wonder drugs. We got sulfa drugs in 36, we got penicillin in 38, we got cortisone in 42, and everybody was led to believe if you just give medical research enough money, and if you faithfully watch Dr. Marcus Welby, MD, every week, they'll find a wonder drug to fix everything. We don't believe that anymore. That's why you're here tonight. Let's look at the most common mineral in the human body, in the animal body. 85% of the total mineral in your body is calcium. There's 147 different diseases you can get from a calcium deficiency. We're just going to quickly go over the top 10 when it comes to number of people affected and the amount of money involved. Let's look at osteoporosis, the number 10 killer of adults in the United States. Remember, 75% of those over age 65 who fracture a hip or a major leg bone don't live 90 days. Also, it's the most horrible disease when it comes to human misery and dollars expended. Osteoporosis, think of the special vans and the lift gates and the ramps and the elevators, the special plumbing in homes and public buildings, special parking places, wheelchairs and walkers and canes. Think of the beds and the chairs that are little electric motors that lift you up when you can't stand up by yourself. Physical therapists, joint replacement surgeries, pharmaceuticals, doctor's visits. We're talking billions and billions of dollars for nothing more than a calcium deficiency disease. Now, as horrible as a disease as osteoporosis is in human beings, we don't have osteoporosis in animals because we don't have Blue Cross Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization, Medicare and Medicaid to pay for nonsensical surgical treatments for a mineral deficiency. We've learned that by putting animals who are weaned off their mother's milk on calcium as soon as they're weaned, they won't get arthritis and osteoporosis. It's amazing how that works. Receding gums. Dentists and dental hygienists will tell you to floss and brush after every meal. If you believe that works, I have some oceanfront property in Montana to sell you. If you have receding gums, periodontitis, gingivitis, pyorrhea, loose teeth, bridges and plates, you actually have osteoporosis of the facial bones and the jaw bones. We don't get receding gums in animals, even though they don't floss or brush. That's because we've taken care of the osteoporosis problem in animals. Arthritis. 85% of all arthritis is called wear and tear arthritis. Osteoarthritis, degenerative arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis. These things are nothing more than osteoporosis of the joint ends of the bones. Hypertension, high blood pressure, as you've learned, has nothing to do with salt or salt restriction. 85% of hypertension not related to kidney disease, which is most of them, not related to kidney disease, is in fact a calcium deficiency. Insomnia is not a deficiency of sleeping pills, Halcyon or barbiturates, it's a deficiency of calcium. Kidney stones, bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits. Again, the medical profession has a malignant, dumb belief that these things are due to too much calcium in your diet, tell you to give up calcium, when in fact, you only get kidney stones, bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits when you have raging osteoporosis. You actually need more calcium, more magnesium, not less. Cramps and twitches. Raise your hand. How many of you have ever had a toe cramp, foot cramp, leg cramp in your life? Sure. That's the first symptom of a calcium deficiency that most people recognize. So if you've ever had that sometime in your life, you've had a calcium deficiency. Then you have PMS. The University of California at San Diego, 8 years ago now, came out and said that 85% of the emotional and physical stuff of PMS can be relieved, eliminated, and cured. They use the cure word by taking 3 times the RDA of calcium. Low back pain has nothing to do with disc problems. I know you've heard of people, maybe even yourself, have had a disc surgery for back pain. And after the surgery, you still had the pain, maybe even worse, because back pain is not caused by disc problems. If you have a disc problem, You can have numbness and tingling, maybe even paralysis if it's very severe, but disc problems do not cause pain. If you have low back pain, if you allow them to amputate a toe, foot, or leg, you do want to, of course, put a tag on it so they get the right one. Now, your doctor, when he diagnoses a new diabetic in his office, he gets very excited, and he'll drop to his knees and give thanks to the Lord, and then he'll jump up and call his real estate agent, because he knows over 20, 30, 40 years, if you're a diabetic, you're going to go through all these problems, blindness, kidney failure, cardiovascular disease, and the need for amputations. And as a result, you're worth to him $250,000 to $500,000. $250,000 to $500,000, just like adding another cow to the dairy herd. Now, to me, this is criminal, because we learned in 1957 in animals that we could prevent and cure adult onset diabetes with two trace minerals, chromium and vanadium. Just 12 years ago, 1985, the medical school at the University of Vancouver, British Columbia, up in Canada, came out and said that trace mineral vanadium alone could replace insulin in adult onset diabetics. Science Diet dog food has 40 minerals in it. Always has chromium, vanadium, lithium, and selenium. Ralston Purina Laboratory Rat Pellets has 28 minerals, always contains chromium, vanadium, lithium, and selenium. I'll give anybody in this room a crisp new $100 bill if you can find me a human infant formula off the shelf of a grocery store that has more than 12 minerals in it. None of them contain chromium, vanadium, or lithium. Only one prozoibe and Infamil, I believe, has 12 because they put in the selenium. The rest of them don't. They have 11, 10, 9, or 8 minerals. Our dogs get 40 minerals, our rats get 28, and our kids get 12 or less. You don't have to be a research scientist to realize why our kids are now getting all these horrible diseases that used to occur in people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. All these diseases that doctors are wondering, is this genetic? These kids shouldn't have this till they're 60. Well, that's because they couldn't get it out of their little can of stuff. If it's not in the can, they don't get it. There's three types of minerals that you have to concern yourself with. And I talk about minerals rather than vitamins because two-thirds of the essential nutrients, 60 out of the 90, are minerals. Everybody knows everything there is to know about vitamins, and so we're talking about minerals today. First of all, there's metallic minerals. These are things like oyster shell, eggshell, limestone, coral calcium, seabed minerals, clays of various types. Tums is a popular one with doctors. Lactates, gluconates, citrates, oxides, sulfates, carbonates. These are nothing but ground-up rocks. Animals and human beings are only able to get 8 to 12% of these minerals. We're not designed to eat ground-up rocks as a source of minerals. When you hit 40 or 50 years of age, have you ever wondered why people suddenly fall apart when they hit the big 5-0? People dread turning 50 for that reason. The back goes, or teeth get loose, whatever hair you got left is gray. No interest in sex. You know, they just kind of fall apart. That's because your ability to absorb these elemental minerals drops precipitously to 3 to 5%. Now, about 4 years ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a guy jumps up in the back of the room and says, "Hey, Doc, now I know what I see in my porta-potty business." I say, "What on earth do you see in your porta-potty business?" He says, "Well, when we clean those things out and disinfect them to reuse them, we find hundreds and hundreds of vitamin pills that come through people." I said, "Come on now, how do you know they're vitamin pills? They could be anything." He says, "Oh, that's easy, Doc. On the coating, they say Theragram M, one a day, Centrum, and Centrum Silver." Now, a lot of my patients say, "Look, Doc, I've been taking 2,000 milligrams of calcium every day for 20 years because I knew it was good for me, yet I still have hypertension, insomnia, loose teeth, receding gums, low back problems, bone spurs, kidney stones, arthritis, osteoporosis, all the stuff you say I shouldn't have, and I've been taking 2,000 milligrams of calcium every day." And so, "Well, what kind do you take?" They say, "Well, I take calcium gluconate, calcium citrate, calcium lactate, oyster shell, eggshell, I take things like Tums." I say, "Well, there's your problem. If you take a 1,000 milligram calcium lactate tablet, for example, you're not getting 1,000 milligrams of calcium because 86% or 860 milligrams is lactose or milk sugar. Only 14% or 140 milligrams is metallic or elemental calcium. And let's use 10% for usability factors, a fair number, plus it's easy math. 10% of 140 milligrams is 14. So if you take two of those calcium lactate tablets, 1,000 milligrams, you're not getting 2,000 milligrams of calcium. You're getting 2 times 14 or 28 milligrams. To get 2,000 milligrams of usable calcium from a 1,000 milligram calcium lactate tablet, you have to take 30 of those with each meal, almost a full 100 tablet bottle of these calcium lactate tablets a day. And of course, if $5 a bottle, the cheapest ones, you're looking at $150 a month just for calcium. You got 59 more minerals to go, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids, so this is not an economical way to get your nutrients as elemental minerals. Also, if you took in 90 tablets of anything a day, you're going to develop what we call BNF disease. BNF disease stands for belching and farting. you're going to sound like an elephant out in the woods with a horrible gastrointestinal problem. And of course, you know you have BNF disease when your spouse has to throw a canary in the bathroom to see if it's safe to go in there. Now, during the 60s, the animal industry came up with what we call chelated minerals. That's because farmers are not dumb enough to put a dollar in an animal's mouth and have 99 cents come out in the manure. And so we learned that by adding amino acids, proteins, or enzymes to the elemental mineral, it increases the absorbability tenfold from 3 to 5% to 40%. And everybody got excited about chelated minerals during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And if you look at the good multivitamin mineral tablets today, you'll see a mixture of elemental and chelated minerals. But the way that animals and people are designed to consume and absorb minerals is in the plant-derived colloidal mineral form. We're not designed to eat ground-up rocks. Nobody can show you where humans or animals are designed to eat ground-up rocks. We're designed to get our minerals by eating plants, grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts. And as a result, plant-derived colloidal minerals are 98% absorbable, 2.5 times more absorbable than chelated, 10 times or more absorbable than the elemental or metallic minerals. Plant-derived colloidal minerals are liquid. They're very small particle size. They're 7,000 times smaller than a red blood cell. This is the way they're stored in your cells and are moved around in plant vascular systems and human vascular systems in the liquid plant-derived colloidal form. They're negatively charged. I don't know all of the physics and the chemistry. It's one of the basic features of a colloidal mineral that's negatively charged. These three factors together give you the 98% absorbability. Now, the way it's supposed to be is our food plants, our grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts take the elemental or metallic minerals out of the soil, convert them to colloidal minerals for their own use, for their own metabolism and biochemistry, and then animals and people eat these plants that are enriched with minerals. That's how we're designed to get our minerals. Unfortunately, we have several problems here. There's no longer any nutritional minerals left in our farm and range soils. For 100 years, we've used a simple fertilizer known as NPK. We put in 3 nutrients into the soil when we need 60 minerals. We put those 3 nutrients in the soil for maximum yields per ton and bushel per acre. Then, of course, we have to understand that plants cannot manufacture minerals. If they're not in the soil, they're not in the plants. Plants only have minerals in them if they're in the soil. Plants cannot manufacture minerals. Minerals do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. Minerals occur in veins, kind of like chocolate ripple ice cream. I guess perhaps the biggest thing that has made America the most minerally deficient country in the world is that whenever somebody would find a nifty little article in the newspaper or magazine on a mineral or a vitamin, they'd take it to the doctor, and the doctor would poo-poo them and say, "You don't want to spend money for vitamins and minerals. You can get everything you need from your 4 food groups." And for 50 years, physicians have been taking away the interest from the general public by making them feel foolish. You can get everything you need. Why would you waste your money on those quacks? If you need a heart transplant for $750,000, I'll do it. Why take a mineral that can prevent it? The last question you have to ask yourself is, what about those cultures that were written up in the National Geographic, January of 1973? Those cultures that lived to be 120, 140, are they all genetically related? And the answer is no. They picked places accidentally. Certainly they weren't knowledgeable of this. Just out of the throw of the dice, they picked places that had 60 to 72 minerals in the parent rock of the mountains they chose to live in. There's dozens and dozens of cultures in the world who live at the same elevation in mountains, but they only have 3 or 5 or 10 or 12 minerals in the parent rocks they live in, and so they only live to be 75.5 like us. So that's the number one thing, 60 to 72 minerals in the parent rocks they live in. Secondly, they all picked places that had less than 2 inches of precipitation a year, no snow, no rain to speak of, and as a result, they had to pick places that were within easy reach of permanent water. They all picked places that were within 50 miles of glaciers, and they all built aqueducts to carry glacial water to the valleys they live in. Now, the water that comes out from underneath of glaciers is not clear like Perrier or Evian water, or Elite, or whatever these natural spring waters are. The water that comes out from underneath of glaciers is cloudy. It has a lot of minerals suspended in it. It's called glacial milk because it looks like milk. It's either white or grayish blue because it has a lot of minerals suspended in it. As these glaciers move up and down the mountains during the various parts of the season, they grind up literally tens of thousands of tons of these rocks, and this rock dust or rock flour comes out in this glacial milk. Now, you boil away a quart of glacial milk, you get 2 inches of minerals in the bottom of that quart jug. If you boil away a quart of Perrier water at $20 a gallon, you're going to get as much mineral as you put on the head of a pin. A huge disparity. There's going to be nobody more disappointed than the baby boomers when they hit 50, 60, 70 years of age and they get all this arthritis and say, "Well, I don't know how that happened. I've been drinking Perrier my whole life." And so they're going to be disappointed. Now, not only did these cultures drink this water, this glacial milk, and get 8 to 12% and then 3 to 5% when they were 40 or 50 years of age, because it's nothing more than ground up rocks, metallic or elemental minerals, More importantly than drinking the glacial milk, week after week, month after month, year after year, generation after generation, for 2,500 to 5,000 years, depending on the culture, they irrigated with this glacial milk. And they returned literally tens of thousands of tons of these minerals, this rock dust, this rock flour, back into the soil. Their grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts took this elemental mineral out of the soil, converted it to colloidal minerals, and the food that they eat, the grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts they eat, are rich with these colloidal minerals. All we put in is NPK, NPK, NPK. As a result, they don't have hospitals, they don't have health insurance. My God, how could you live there? They don't have health insurance, but they live healthily to be 120, 140 because they have the raw materials to maintain and repair their bodies.
This is Dr. Wallach with a final message. Information gives you the ability to make decisions with confidence. I hope you've enjoyed my message. By giving your body the proper raw materials every day, you'll be taking the necessary steps in living healthier and living longer. Make the decision to take control of your personal health and longevity program today. Colloidal minerals are not like antibiotics. You don't get a prescription, which you use for 10 days, and then you're done. Your prescription for colloidal minerals should only expire when your need for oxygen expires. You need to supplement your diet with the 90 essential nutrients each and every day of your life.